Brought to you by Bose, presenting their most advanced pilot headset ever, the Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides acclaimed noise reduction, along with a comfortable fit, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.
Hi, this is Mary Grady for AvWeb, and today I'm talking with Bruce Landsberg. He's the president of the AOPA Foundation and the Air Safety Institute, and we're going to talk a little bit today about fuel exhaustion. And this came up in the news last week when a CFI flying a Cirrus pulled the parachute in Connecticut, and it came to light that the airplane was out of fuel. And this just seems to shock people every time it happens, but as Bruce has told me, this happens more often than you might think. So, Bruce, thanks for talking to us. And to start out, why don't you just give us a little background on how often does this happen, and how often is it, you know, I guess most of the time it's not fatal, but sometimes it is.
Well, first, Mary, thanks very much for having me on the podcast here. Yeah, fuel mismanagement has pretty much always been with us, and the numbers have, over the years, have decreased slightly, largely because of the introduction of new technology airplanes into the system. And I think we all learned as student pilots that fuel gauges were notoriously inaccurate. What isn't often said, though, is that they really are required to be accurate by regulation in two places: when the aircraft is, when the fuel tank is full, and when it's empty. And people tend to think that, well, you know, the gauges aren't all that accurate, and so they discount it, never mind the fact that fuel is being consumed at usually a pretty well-known rate, and you can't get 5 hours of flight out of a 4-hour and 45-minute fuel endurance. But we pretty much about twice a week, on average, we will have a couple of people who will try to push the limit on that. And the interesting thing, which you noted correctly, is the vast majority of these accidents are not fatal. We have an interactive map on our website that people can go into and take a look at all of the fuel mismanagement accidents over a period of time. And I took the liberty of getting ready for this podcast to just take a look at last year's numbers. There were 47 that I counted, and out of that 47, only two involved fatalities. And that's significantly less than what the average fatal involvement is. So that tells me that pilots are pretty much expecting that they may have to make a forced landing, and so they're looking around for places in which to do it. You mentioned the Cirrus accident, which had, if anything, a happier outcome than an accident that occurred in January, and in fact, I blogged about it this week. It involved a relatively new instrument pilot flying from Georgia in a Piper Arrow up to Delaware, and apparently the weather was pretty low over a wide area. He made four approaches before he ran out of fuel on the last approach, trying to get in to Dover Air Force Base, and unfortunately did not survive.
Oh yeah, that's a tragic one. And so it's interesting that, as you suggest, pilots are actually pretty good at making forced landings when they have to. But you know, I guess what really strikes pilots when they hear about these accidents is that it's just unnecessary. It's like, why would you run out of fuel in the first place? Do you have any insight into that?
You're getting into the soft underbelly of human psychology there. And back in my early years, I did manage to get a degree in psychology. I never thought it would be particularly useful, and it has turned out to be more so than I expected. But that's a question that I can't answer. What we get into, I think, is you know, individuals' willingness to take risk. And we all have a level of risk tolerance. I'm not sure that with some people who are on extreme ends of the spectrum, you can identify those people pretty clearly. The people who fall into the middle of the bell-shaped curve, though, it's pretty hard to tell. So it's hard to say that somebody will, on any given flight, run out of fuel, and on a percentage basis, I mean, we're talking about literally millions of flights, the numbers aren't high, but when you are dealing with something as well known as the fuel consumption of the airplane, there are a couple of ways to get around that, and One interesting thing that I found is technology may, in fact, be a better solution for this than trying to fix human nature. When Cessna started up the light single-engine line out in Independence, Kansas, in the mid-90s, one of the things that we had spoken to them about was we said, we really need to do something about alerting pilots when they're about to run out of gas. And what Cessna did was, independent of the gauges, was they put in fuel low-level warning lights, which basically said, we don't care how much fuel you start with, which is often a concern for pilots. It's just going to, that light is going to come on, and it's going to flash, and it's not going to be resettable when it gets down to about 30 minutes in the tank. And to my knowledge, and that may not be correct, but to my knowledge, there has not been a single loss of one of the new technology Cessnas since they went into production, and that's well over 5,000 units. And Cirrus has had similarly good effects, although this accident that occurred last week were just in preliminary, so we don't have all of the details. There are a lot of different excuses as to why it happened, and to the pilot, they all sound plausible. Explaining it to an FAA inspector or to your insurance company, probably not so much.
Well, it's interesting to know that there is a technological effort out there to address this, which seems like a reasonable thing to do and simple enough. I mean, we all have indicators like that in our cars. And so if it's working, that's maybe the way to go.
One other thing that people can do is to use calibrated fuel dipsticks. And I think now on some airplanes that won't work because with airplanes that have extended long-range tanks and a lot of dihedral, as the fuel burns down, where the tank filler is, you can't get in to dip it. The Diamond 40 is like that. But on Cessnas, Cherokees, and so forth, you can either make or buy a dipstick that you can then stick the tank and calibrate it to see exactly how much fuel is in there in case you're not starting with full tanks, and then that'll give you a pretty clear idea. The other thing that we recommend is what we call the golden hour, and that comes from the medical technology of if you get somebody to the hospital within an hour of a traumatic injury, their chances go up tremendously. We recommend the golden hour on fuel. The regulations are very clear that you have at least a half hour in VFR conditions, and in instrument flight rules, you have to have at least 45 minutes beyond the required fuel to get to your point of intended landing or suitable alternate if it's required. We recommend that you add at least another 15 minutes to that, no matter what. An hour of fuel, if you think about it, in a 172 is about 8 gallons. If you divide that between two tanks, that's not a lot when you're looking at your anywhere from, let's call it, $30,000 to $300,000 investment.
No, for sure. So, okay, so maybe if people can just get used to these two things, one, adding a little bit extra to their reserve, and two, new airplanes coming up with warning systems, maybe in the future we'll see these kind of accidents diminish.
The thing that's interesting is that in these accidents, if you plot a circle around the airport, they almost always make it. And we've done a couple of pilot safety announcements that are pretty humorous as to kind of the excuses as to why people come up with. So I would invite people to go to our website, that's airsafetyinstitute.org, and click on pilot safety announcements. And they're all different kinds of things. These are little 30-second blurbs and so forth. And the nice way to approach this, if you know somebody who's kind of gotten a close call or something like that, is you can just send them the link. And it's a very friendly way of saying, hey, you might want to rethink this.
Okay, thanks. And I'll also, we'll post a link to your blog post that has that that interesting little map with the all the accidents and where they've happened and some more information like that.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you so much, Mary. It's always a pleasure to visit with you.
Well, thank you, Bruce. I appreciate it.
brought to you by Bose, presenting their most advanced pilot headset ever, the Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides acclaimed noise reduction along with a comfortable fit, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.